Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Ireland Crimes and Mysteries. I want to thank you for joining me today, and if you're a returning listener, I want to say a big thank you for your continued support. If this is your first time listening to my podcast, welcome. It's great to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started on today's story. Hey guys, and welcome back to Ireland Crimes and Mysteries. I'm your host, Newells, and today I'm trying something a little different. This is the very first in a series of shorter episodes I'll be releasing in between the longer fortnightly ones. These will usually run around 10-15 minutes, and they'll cover cases that don't quite have enough material for a deep dive, or sometimes stories maybe of Irish people or those with Irish roots caught up in crimes abroad. So for this first shorter story, we'll be heading to Baltimore in America in 1969 to look at the unsolved murder of a young nun and teacher with Irish heritage. Her name was Sister Cathy Sesnick, and her tragic story became widely known decades later through the Netflix documentary The Keepers. Now, Catherine Sesnick, known to all those who knew and loved her as Cathy, was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1942. Her parents were Anna and Joseph Sesnick, and the family background was Slovak and Irish, and Cathy grew up in a devout Catholic household. From an early age, she was described as thoughtful, creative, and full of energy. She loved to write poetry, she enjoyed theatre, and she had a real gift for music. She played the guitar and often used it to connect with people. Now, Cathy wasn't the kind of nun who kept herself apart from the world. By all accounts, she was a lively personality. She loved laughter, and she had a natural warmth that drew others to her. When she joined the Sisters of Notre Dame, it was clear she was following a genuine calling. But her sense of service was always tied to education. Teaching was her passion, and she had a way of making her students feel seen and heard. By her mid-20s, Cathy was teaching at Archbishop Keogh High School, a Catholic girls' school in Baltimore. To her students, she stood out straight away. She wasn't the stern, distant kind of teacher they were used to in that kind of environment. She was modern, she was approachable, and she broke down barriers. Some of her students remembered how she wore shorter skirts instead of the traditional habit, how she played the guitar in class, and how she encouraged open conversations. For teenagers in a very strict Catholic setting in the late 1960s, Cathy felt different. She felt safe. Many of her former pupils later said she was someone they could confide in when they were struggling. That trust would become central to the story that unfolded. Now, it's also worth just pausing for a moment on the setting. Baltimore in the late 1960s was a place of change and tension. On one hand, there was deep trust placed in the Catholic Church. Priests and nuns were seen as authority figures without question. On the other hand, this was a period of social upheaval in America. Civil rights movements, anti-war protests, and a growing push for young people, especially women, to have more of a voice. Cathy stood right at the crossroads of those worlds. A nun representing tradition, but also a young, vibrant teacher who encouraged her students to speak up. That mix made her deeply loved by her pupils. But it may have also put her in a dangerous position when dark secrets at the school began to surface. Years later, many former pupils of Archbishop Keogh High School would come forward with disturbing accounts of abuse. At the centre of these allegations was Father Joseph Maskell, the school's chaplain and counsellor. Maskell is accused of using his authority and position of trust to groom and abuse students. Survivors later testified that he would bring them into his office under the guise of counselling or spiritual guidance, and that some of the abuse also involved introducing the girls to other men in positions of power. At the time, of course, none of this was public, but Cathy was someone her students trusted. Some of them later said that they'd confided in her about what was happening. They believed she knew too much and that she may have been preparing to act on that knowledge. On the evening of Friday, the 7th of November 1969, Cathy left the apartment she shared with another nun, Sister Helen Phillips. They lived in a small place on North Bend Road in southwest Baltimore. Kathy told Helen she was going shopping. She wanted to buy an engagement gift for her cousin. Later that evening, Kathy stopped at a bakery. We know this because baked goods were later found inside her car, but she never made it home. When she didn't return that night, Helen grew anxious. But the next morning, her fears were confirmed. Kathy's car, a green Ford Maverick, was found parked about a block and a half from their apartment. It was covered in mud, which suggested it had been driven somewhere off-road before being left back in the neighbourhood. Inside the car was that box of bakery goods untouched, but there was no sign of Kathy. For nearly 2 months, Kathy's family, fellow sisters and her students clung to the hope that she might be found alive. On the 3rd of January 1970, those hopes were shattered. A man out hunting in a remote wooded area in Lansdowne, just outside Baltimore, stumbled across human remains. And it was Kathy. She'd been left in the open, and her autopsy later determined that she had suffered blunt force trauma to the head. Because she had been exposed to the elements during the cold winter months, her body was relatively well preserved. But investigators found little in the way of usable evidence. No weapon was recovered, no suspects were charged, and despite the horror of the crime, the case began to stagnate. For her students, the news was devastating. Kathy had been just 26 years old, a young woman, a mentor, and someone they looked up to. Her murder not only traumatized her community, it also deepened the fear around what might have been happening behind the walls of Archbishop Keogh. From the very beginning, there were suspicions about why Kathy had been killed. Many of the former students believed she died because of what she knew or what she was about to expose. The name that comes up again and again was Father Maskell. Survivors later testified that he had both motive and influence. He was questioned during the original investigation and in later years, but he was never charged in connection with Kathy's murder. Maskell always denied any involvement, and when he died in 2001, he took his secrets with him to the grave. But the cloud of suspicion never lifted. For those who had been students at Archbishop Keogh, the feeling was clear. Kathy had listened, she had cared, and she'd become a threat to powerful men. Nearly 50 years later, Kathy's case returned to the spotlight in a huge way. In 2017, Netflix released The Keepers, a 7-part documentary series that dug deep into the unanswered questions surrounding her murder. The series was led by two of Kathy's former students, who have never stopped searching for the truth. These women, now in their 60s, took it upon themselves to investigate. They tracked down classmates, interviewed survivors, dug through old files, and built a community of people determined to keep Kathy's story alive. The Keepers shocked audiences around the world. Viewers heard testimony from survivors who described the abuse they had endured, the trauma they carried into adulthood, and their belief that Kathy had died because she was prepared to stand up for them. The documentary didn't solve her murder, but it did something powerful. It forced people to confront the possibility of institutional cover-ups, and it made sure Kathy's story wasn't forgotten. More than 50 years have passed since Kathy's death, and her murder is still officially unsolved. No one has ever been charged. For her family and for her students, that lack of justice is a wound that has just never healed. But Kathy's legacy is not only one of tragedy. She's remembered as a teacher who truly listened. She gave young women a safe space to speak when no one else would. Her students still describe her with love and gratitude even all these decades later. The fight to keep her story alive is part of a bigger struggle. To hold institutions accountable, to listen to survivors, and to make sure the truth is never buried. So guys, that's today's shorter episode, looking at the life and unsolved murder of Sister Kathy Cessnick, a young woman with Irish roots whose story reached a worldwide audience through The Keepers. So I'll see you all next weekend for another episode. And as always, keep your eyes opened and your mind curious. So guys, that's it for today's episode of the Ireland Crimes and Mysteries podcast. Again, thanks for your listenership, and don't forget to subscribe to the show and hit that auto download so you never miss an episode. Until the next time, keep your eyes open and your mind curious. This podcast has been compiled from information gathered in the public sphere, like news articles, documentaries, and open source material that can be found on the web. Everything in this podcast is alleged unless a conviction has taken place.